Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad you're with us today. And today we're going to talk the first of two messages on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a subject I don't think the average believer in Jesus today really fully understands because it's not taught much. So I hope this will really be helpful these next 2 weeks. Let's begin with prayer. Here we go. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, open our hearts so that we can understand and receive the truth now from your word about the Holy Spirit and his living inside of us and what he does and his ministry to us. And may it encourage our heart and fortify our soul. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Okay. Tell me before we start, what do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? Come on now, say it with me. Come on, what is it? The Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives. That's what we're going to do today. Now, last week we were in John chapter 7, and we talked about how by making it look like Jesus was from Galilee and not Bethlehem, how this forced people in the time of Christ to have to come to Jesus by faith and not by sight. And so how God does this today, we talked about, with the light years in the universe, the fossil record, of the evolutionary theories, all of this. It's just interesting. I don't know what else to say. It's always been a source of great mystery to me that God sets up the universe, and he did even in the days of Jesus, so that people who don't want to come to Christ by faith, it's actually very easy for the devil to mislead them the other way. Okay, but there was a verse or two in chapter 7, which we read the in its entirety last week, that I want to go back and pick up right now. Here we are, we're in chapter 7, of John's gospel. Let's pick up at verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He'd not yet risen from the dead and gone back into heaven. Now, this sounds very familiar to another passage that we did a few weeks ago from John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. As he's sitting there at the well, the woman comes up and starts talking to him. Verse 10, look, John 4. And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, and the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water out of the well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit that he was talking about in both instances. Now, Jesus makes it clear that when the Holy Spirit comes, he indwells us as believers when we come to Christ. And look, if you would, John chapter 14, verse 17. Let's put it on the screen. Chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit dwells with you, the end of the verse, and will be in you. And this is just what 1 Corinthians 6 says. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And finally, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, in Hebrew, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, now, I want to stop here and have us ask our most important question, and let's talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as believers. Are you ready? Let's ask our question. Here we go. Come on. One, two, three. So what? Yes. How sweet it is. And not a sermon, just a thought. I'm going to give you the thought now, the application to our life. You know, when I first came to Christ and I started going to church, I started hearing all this talk about the Holy Ghost, And because that's what how the Holy Spirit is referred to in the old King James Version of the Bible. Now, I'm Jewish. I don't have any background whatsoever in the script, in the Bible, the New Testament. And friends, I know this sounds comical, but I don't mean it that way. You know, the Holy Ghost, the only ghost I had ever heard of was Casper the Friendly. You know, I was totally confused. And maybe some of you have been a little confused about what this Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost thing is all about. So let's see in the time we have remaining if we can clear that up. We have two questions. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person in the Trinity, Jesus being the second, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a he. He is God, just like Jesus is. Now look at these creeds from the early church. First, from the Council of Constantinople, 381 AD, quote, let's put it on the screen, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the life-giving one, who is to be glorified equally with the Father and the Son. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, we are to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they're all equally God. And the Athanasian Creed, 500 AD, quote, we worship one God in Trinity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. In this Trinity, nothing is greater or less, but all three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So, who is the Holy Spirit? He is a person, the third person of the Godhead. And what does the Holy Spirit do? That's our second question to answer today. Well, I think if most people had a choice, they would, between having Jesus here on earth walking around doing miracles and him being in heaven now and the Holy Spirit being here, most people would choose, I think most Christians, to have Jesus here personally. Ah, but Jesus said, listen to what he said. John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him, not it, him to you. Jesus says it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit here and him in heaven than to have him here and not have the Holy Spirit in us. Wow, that means the Holy Spirit must do some pretty amazing stuff in our life, and he does. This is not a complete list, but it covers the most important points. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? You ready? Okay. Number one, he convicts people that they need Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 8. And when he is come, meaning the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Folks, you and I cannot talk people into believing in Jesus. I hope you know that. The Holy Spirit has to convict them and convince them of their sin and of the righteousness of God that they fall short of, and of judgment that is coming their way if they don't come to Christ. And that's when they come to Christ. That's what we need to pray for, because that's the only way anybody comes to Christ. Number two, second thing the Holy Spirit does is he regenerates us. He brings us the new birth when we come to Christ. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. He said, you must be born again. And then in verse 5 of that chapter, he identifies being born again with the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is who births us again with the new birth so that we become children of God by spiritual birth into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives us an internal witness of assurance regarding our salvation. Romans chapter 8, look with me at verse 16. It says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, you know as well as I do, and because I've taught you this, that everybody is not a child of God. Everybody is a creation of God. But as John chapter 1 says, those who believe in Christ, they get the right to become children of God, not by man's will or human birth, but by spiritual birth. Okay, so this spiritual birth that makes us children of God, the Holy Spirit inside of us bears witness to our spirit that we have become children of God and assures us that we belong to him and that we're saved. Now, I remember when I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I'd first come to Christ. And by the way, I'm going down for my 50th year reunion with my fraternity down there the last weekend in July. Please pray for me. I'm going to try to share the gospel with all of them. Just please pray that God opens the door and gives me the courage and the ability to step through it and be bold and loving and share Christ with all of these guys and their wives. Please. But when I was there and I'd come to Christ in 1971, I didn't know what I knew about the Bible could fit in half a thimble. I didn't know much of anything. And people would try to talk me out of believing in Jesus and would tell me how stupid it was and how crazy this is and how misled I was. You know what? They would give me Bible stumpers to prove to me the Bible was wrong. Well, I know the answers to those Bible stumpers now, but I didn't know it 51 years ago. And yet, you know what? I never paid attention to them. It never crossed my mind to defect from Jesus. You know why? Because I had the inner witness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness to me that I belong to God. I knew that I knew that I knew that something had happened inside of me and I now belong to Jesus. I can't tell you how I knew, but now I know. It was the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit to my heart saying, Lon, you may not know the answer to all those things, but buddy, don't you be deceived. You belong to God now. You stick with me, and I'll give you those answers. And maybe you have that same, you know that you know that you know Well, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you giving you that assurance. Number four, the Holy Spirit indwells, as we saw earlier, every person that really comes to Christ. We showed you that already. And it's only because of this that we are even remotely able to live the Christian life. More on that next week. Number five, the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know what to pray for. Romans chapter 8, look with me, verse 26, says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Hey, I'm sure there have been times in your Christian life when you've just fallen on your knees and you've been in such crisis and such exigency that you just groan. You don't even know how to put it in words and say it. The Holy Spirit does. And he's up there praying right at that moment, like he is every moment for you, and saying, God the Father, Lord Jesus, this is what Lon means. This is what he would ask for if he understood how to put this in words and ask for it. So the Bible says Jesus intercedes for us in heaven, but isn't it cool to know that at the very same time, the Holy Spirit is praying for you and me in heaven? How cool is that? We ask other people, hey, would you please pray for me? And we mean it. How great is it to have the Holy Spirit praying for us every moment of every day? Number six, the Holy Spirit illuminates our hearts and our minds so that we can understand spiritual truth, so that we can understand the gospel when it was preached to us, and so we can understand the Bible once we come to Christ. You've probably met people who said, oh, I read the Bible all the time, and I just can't understand it. Well, if they don't know Christ, obviously not, because this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, which they don't have in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man, the unbelieving man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That is the Word of God for sure. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, who has Christ inside of him, the Holy Spirit, judges all things. Spiritually discerned. This is why the Bible, when you read it, you get goosebumps. You're thrilled with what you read. You understand it. And why your neighbor who doesn't know Christ says they read it and they don't understand it, because the things in here must be spiritually discerned, and they can only be spiritually discerned as the Holy Spirit helps us to discern them and understand them, and that's why the Bible makes sense to you. And this is why a person, when they first come to Christ, they're like, oh my gosh, it's like the Bible is like come alive to me. Well, sure. Because you've got the Holy Spirit now inside of you, illuminating it, spiritually enabling you to discern it. Of course, makes perfect sense. Okay, that's just some of what the Holy Spirit does, but I have one more and then we're done. And last of all, number seven, the Holy Spirit is God's deposit, God's down payment, to prove to us that he intends to complete the deal. Now, what is the end of the deal? Well, the end of the deal is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, that says, we know that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up by Jesus. Now, this is the end of the deal, God, that the Lord Jesus raises us up and takes us to heaven. And look, the next chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, the next chapter. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, watch this now, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit. This word, arabon, in the Greek language, means a down payment, means a pledge, means a deposit that's non-refundable. So that the purchaser says, I'm coming back to complete the purchase, and I'm so convinced I'm doing it that this is non-refundable. I'm coming back to do this. Well, that's what this means. The Holy Spirit is God's deposit that he put down to promise us that he is coming back to raise us up with Jesus. And you know, this is not the only verse in the scripture that says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says that God has also sealed us and given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Look at this. And finally, how about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, in him, that is Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? The guarantee of our inheritance, that God is going to give us that inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, meaning us, Jesus purchased us with his blood, to the glory, to the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when my son, my youngest son, John, was getting ready to go to college, he wanted to play college baseball, and he was pretty good. And so we went around to a number of different schools, meeting with coaches. The recruiting process is just horrible, horrible, but we did. Well, one of the schools that was looking at John was Princeton. Now, he ended up going to Johns Hopkins and playing ball 4 years for them. And I'm so proud of him. He had a great career there. I'm just so proud of him, not just for the baseball, but I am. But he was being recruited also by Princeton. And we went up there, and the only time that the coach was free to meet with us was graduation weekend. And so I had to get a hotel room. So when I called up there and was finally able to find a hotel room, I said to the woman, I said, now, she said, since it's graduation weekend, we require a down payment that we immediately charge to your credit card. And I said, okay, how much is the down payment? And she said, the full cost of the room. It sounds like that line from Clear and Present Danger, when Jack Ryan wants to rent the helicopter. He first asked the guy, he asked the guy, do you rent this? And the guy goes, no, but you can buy it. And Ryan goes, how much is it? And he goes, $2 million. And Ryan says, gives him his card as a CIA guy and says, well, I have to take it on a test drive first. And the guy goes, of course, you just have to leave a deposit. And Ryan goes, how much is the deposit? And he goes, $2 million. The woman said, the room, the cost of the room is the deposit. And I said, well, if something happens and we can't come, what happens? She said, well, you don't have to come, but the money, you don't get the money back. The room, we keep your money. Friends, when I put a deposit down on that room, I meant business. And you know what? When God puts a deposit down that's non-refundable on you, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, God is serious. He's going to keep the rest of the deal, which is he's coming and going to raise us from the dead with Christ and translate us into heaven. Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. So that's as far as we're going to go today. But hey, how about all of that the Holy Spirit does? The best part in my mind being he's my down payment. If I have him, I don't have to worry one bit about God's completing the deal. And this is what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, our salvation, will complete it. Will complete it. Completing it means giving us new bodies, glorified bodies, and taking us to heaven for eternity. until the day of Christ Jesus. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Prove he's serious. How great is that? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit and for all that he does for us. This is just a smattering of some of what the Bible teaches. Lord Jesus, may we appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit more than we ever have before. And Father, may we take great hope, encouragement, and fortification from knowing that our salvation is as secure as the promise of God himself, and to show us he meant business and he's going to complete the work he's begun in us. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as an unrefundable down payment. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in you that you are the great Savior, and that when you save us, you intend to take it all the way to completion. Lord, encourage our hearts with this today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Well, Lord willing, we'll see you next week. And please pray for me on the weekend. I'm down with my fraternity brothers, and that is the weekend of July 30. God bless you. And thanks.